Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast, where we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday morning sermon at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll address other topics. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life.
Good afternoon. Today is August the 31st. We are at the very end of August.
Unbelievable.
When's fall official day is?
I don't know. I think it's like September 21st or something.
I'm saying it's September the 1st. Tomorrow.
You have three more weeks, Justin, to wear your white pants.
Is it white shoes, too?
Whatever. White pants, white shoes. I don't know. Some people say you can't wear them after Labor Day, and some people say you can't wear them after the beginning of fall. But my point is I don't have any white pants or white shoes.
This is not going to help me. Yeah. I wanted to say, too, I think this is the first time I've ever talked about white pants on a podcast, but here we go.
Yeah, we probably need to move on.
Yeah, we'll move on.
But yes, it's August 31st, and that means that we're into the month of September, and a lot of changes happening at Grace with community groups starting back and new classes and new groups. It's great.
Yeah, that's just an encouragement to our people, you know, find a group and get plugged in and... Mm-hmm. If you need help, reach out to me and reach out to us. We want to help you get plugged in.
So here's a question. I know we're going to get to the podcast, and this is kind of off the top of my head here. We didn't plan to talk about this, but let's say somebody's new to Grace, and they're like, oh, okay, how do I connect with people outside of the Sunday morning worship service? What would you say to them?
I say there's two places. One is our Connections class on Sunday morning. It's round tables. You get to interact with people. I think it's a great place to meet people at Grace. Mm-hmm. Especially maybe if you have a busy weekly schedule and it's like, man, it's so hard to find a group near my part of town or, you know, so that's number one. Number two is...
All right, back up. So they just walk in on Sunday morning.
9 o'clock in the morning in the chapel.
Sunday morning, you don't have to sign up.
Don't have to sign up. There's coffee and just find a table and sit at it and get to know people.
And somebody's going to teach, though.
Someone will teach, and there's also interaction at the table, so it's not just... You listening, you know, sometimes, you know, weeks, if it's me, I end up teaching too long and interaction.
But it's not just a lecture.
Right. Okay. The goal is for you to interact with people.
Good.
And really interact around the Word. So you interact around the Word and I mean, you get to hang out and talk to people. So that's great. Yeah. Get to know. That's number one. Number two would be to go to our website and at the very top, so gccnashville.org, the very top, there's a thing called ministries. And you'll go down and you'll see underneath adult ministries, you'll see community groups.
Okay.
If you click on that, it'll show all of the groups we offer in the area of town. And some of them, we have a couple that are mass required right now. And there's one that's a virtual one. And then there's others that have kids and don't have kids. And you'll see all that there. It'll explain it for you. And then you click register and you can go find that group and ask to join the group. And, you know, we're kind of in the season of, I call this the Tetris season of community groups, because we've got a lot of people registering and some are a little stretching full on kids. We got to kind of move people around. So be patient, but we'll get out to you and we'll help you find a group. So that's where you get plugged in.
Great. All right. Well, we're moving into the month of September.
Yeah, it's great. Well, let's talk about the sermon on Sunday. And we were in Jesus. We've moved on from the wedding where he turns water into wine. And now we're with Jesus in the temple, cleansing the temple.
Yep.
So help us, give us a little bit of an insight, the outline of your sermon.
Okay. So, yes, John chapter 2. Mm-hmm. Jesus has moved from Galilee, which is the northern region. Mm-hmm. And a lot more, a lot less populated, and the towns and cities are smaller. Mm-hmm. He moves into Jerusalem, bigger city, the center of religious power, where the temple is. So a lot happening in the city of Jerusalem. And you'll see, as I said on Sunday, you get into Jerusalem and you start feeling the tension and the conflict as Jesus is teaching and predicting his death and making bold statements, and that kind of riles up, confuses some religious leaders and gets others threatened.
Yeah.
So that's where we are. And in keeping with that tension that happens in Jerusalem, he cleanses the temple. That's the title that people give to cleanse the temple, which basically means he comes in, and as we said on Sunday, and I don't want to rehash the whole thing, people can listen to it, but he comes into the part of the temple. Most Bible scholars think that where he is called the outer court, which is where Gentiles were allowed to come in. So there's Jews and Gentiles both in this outer court, God fears, and they're in there, but this is where the Gentiles pray, and they've set up a marketplace. And so it's a lot of activity, and Jesus sees that a lot is going on that's dishonoring to God, you know, blocking the prayer and the worship of the God-fearing Gentiles, mm-hmm. as well as, you know, maybe overcharging for the sacrificial animals, mm-hmm. jacking up the exchange rates, you know, making it difficult. And it's just, they're losing their purpose. They're mm-hmm. losing who they are. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Uh-huh. They're losing their mission as a temple meeting place for God. And Jesus acts out of zeal, and he cleanses it, meaning he just chases all this marketplace activity out and says, don't make my Father's house into a marketplace,
good.
A house of trade. Other gospels say it's a house of prayer. John doesn't use that phrase in this text, mm-hmm. prayer, but that's what he means. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. So before we get to a question I have really related to when he's interacting with the temple and he clears it out about anger and versus zeal. But before we get there, help us a little bit. What's the main point of this?
Yeah, where's he going with it?
Where is he going with this? Sometimes we can focus on that cleansing of the temple, which there's some important aspects there, but where is he heading?
So that's really the question. So if you just keep reading right after he does that, of course, that gets everybody's attention. Mm-hmm. The Jewish leaders come to him and they want to know what's the authority? What authority do you have to do this? Mm-hmm. They might even want to know what's the reason behind your actions. And Jesus answers it in the strangest way. one pastor I read, he called it the riddle. Mm. He says, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Mm-hmm. They don't have any idea what he's talking about because nobody.
Well, even the disciples, because John puts that little notation like, well, after his resurrection, they go, oh, that's what he was referring to.
So here we are. So we got the rest of John, and we're saying, Jesus died on the cross, and he was raised on the third day. So of course that's what he was doing. they don't have a category in their brain for a death on a cross. That they do have that, they have the category of crucifixion, but not for their Messiah.
Yeah.
And they certainly don't have a category of their Messiah dying by crucifixion and then being raised on the third day. So they don't get the riddle until later. But the point is, Jesus is cleansing the temple. He's saying, I'm going to restore the purpose of the temple. But the temple is not the one you think. It's not the one of stone. It's the one of my body. Yeah. I'm going to restore the purpose of the temple by making the new temple my body, which is going to be destroyed, crucified, and on the third day raised. And so therefore, at this temple, the temple of my body, in my death and resurrection, people from all the nations will be reconciled to God.
Yeah,
they will pray through because of reconciliation. They will be forgiven because of reconciliation. Mm-hmm. They will be set in rightness with God because of my death and my resurrection. So it is just, you know, it's just the most powerful picture of the mission of Jesus in this event and in that comment. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up.
Yeah. So we're pointing to the death and resurrection of Christ. That's where we're heading.
Yep.
I think it's helpful because, again, I think we can, not that there's not really good points to pull from the temple cleansing, but sometimes we can camp there and forget, well, this is where it's heading.
Yeah.
Well, going back to the temple, you talked about it a little bit in your sermon. I want to press a little more because this text can often be taken. And then when I get angry, I can say, well, see, I'm just being like Jesus cleansing the temple.
Yeah.
And it can be used for however I get angry. And maybe even if I think it's a good cause I'm getting really angry and mean about, I can say, well, see, Jesus got angry and mean.
Yeah.
Help us, Scott, think through maybe some of the differences that are some of our anger and what was happening with Jesus in the temple and how we can kind of maybe understand a little bit of the differences so that maybe we don't take this text and just plaster it on how we get angry.
Okay, I'll try.
You can go as detailed as you want.
Well, I'll try because I don't know. I mean, I know, but I don't know. We know, but you have to ask yourself, you know, every person has to ask him or herself what is happening in their own heart.
Yeah.
So start there. We call it sometimes righteous indignation.
Yeah.
I am indignant. I'm angry. I'm put out, but in a righteous way.
Right.
The cause that I'm expressing my anger over is a righteous cause. It's a cause of right and wrong. And so is there a place for righteous indignation? I would say probably so.
Yeah.
You know. Totally. But I think what happens is sometimes we express anger and we call it righteous indignation. The cause might even be a cause of right or wrong.
Right.
But our expression of anger does not include that primary driver of love, of zeal, which means devotion to righteousness, love for righteousness. It often, our expressions of what we call righteous indignation are really, we are ticked off because we are appalled by somebody or something, and we express it and say that's righteous indignation, when really zeal that Jesus shows here, back up to the word zeal, the disciples remember Psalm 69, where David says, zeal for your house has consumed me, and they apply that to Jesus. The cleansing of the temple, the chasing people out with this almost violent action, they say, oh, that's zeal. Mm-hmm. They don't say it's anger. They say it's zeal. It is a fervent devotion, a devotion that comes from love for God's house, God's honor, God's glory, God's grace, humans who are being prevented from worshiping here. Mm-hmm. The whole salvation, the whole redemptive purpose of reconciling people to God.
Yeah.
Jesus is so in love with that, so passionately devoted to true righteousness because he loves it, that he acts this way. Mm-hmm. So we have to just be careful that we don't get mad and then call it righteous indignation. And usually that manifests itself in not being willing to actually be involved, or not being willing to actually, even as Jesus did, sacrifice and suffer for it.
Yeah.
Jesus so loved righteousness that he did this knowing that this was going to be one of the early things that kicked off the conflict that he had with the religious leaders, and that they were going to kill him for it.
Right.
They're going to use this against him in the future. But he loved so much.
Yeah.
I don't want to re-preach the sermon, but that's the only way I can say it, is we have to examine in our own hearts, am I just angry? Am I self-righteously angry? Am I appalled because I can't believe people would do this or that, and I'm so angry about it, and I'm just going to spout off and say it? Or am I motivated by a passionate love for God's glory and for God's grace and for the whole enterprise of reconciliation between God and man achieved by the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, that I'm willing to act in ways that might even bring harm back on me for the sake of love? That's the only way I can say
it. So what I'm hearing you say, Scott, it's almost like being able to first examine your heart and ask yourself what is happening. Is it for a righteous purpose that I'm you know, maybe have a zeal or a little bit angry, but then also asking, even if it is that, then how am I reacting to that? And that kind of can help us a little bit indicate where we're heading with it. But also you're getting there to a little bit about, because Jesus, there was a purpose, a reason for why he was zealous. There was a mission there.
Yeah.
And so can you share a little bit about that? Because I think sometimes that was the purpose of his zeal was, I think, also helpful.
So the Jews were always, the promise to the nation of Israel always included the nations. It never included just that nation. It was always a God chose that nation because it was through that nation that he would send the Messiah, who would be the Messiah of the nations. So that was his mission. And when he saw that mission not being accomplished, he saw it as a violation of love.
Yeah.
And that was what really got him going. And it's why he chased people out of the temple. One thing else I'll say, if you notice the action of Jesus here, he says, take these things away and do not make my Father's house a house of trade. The Jews then said, what sign do you show us to do that you do these things? And he said, destroy this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days. In 3 days, I'll raise it up. Okay. Jesus is not lobbing a bomb. Jesus is not, he's not just throwing out a one-liner that's supposed to, you know, destroy his opponent. He's standing right there in the temple. He just cleared it out and he's not going anywhere. He said, I'm here to restore. I'm here to show the way.
Yeah.
It's going to be the way of my death.
Right.
That, he's on a mission.
Yeah.
Because he is the mission.
Yeah.
And he is the way the mission is accomplished. His own death and resurrection.
Yeah.
That's where he's driving at.
Yeah.
And that's the difference between anger and zeal, I think.
Yeah, and I don't want to stretch it too far, and you can always stretch something too far, Scott, but I think, you know, we've been talking a lot at Grace about being distracted and how, man, the temple was that day distracted from the purpose of what the outer courts was meant to be, which was a place for the nations to come and behold the glory of God. And just thinking about, you know, us not being distracted. We've been praying, you know, the book of John would help us in our distraction. Remember what, and here it is. I mean, Jesus is saying the purpose is for people to be redeemed from all tribe, tongue, and language.
Yeah.
And I'm the way to that. And that's what we're going to proclaim.
Yep, that's right. That's our message.
Yeah. So great sermon. I know we're going to be getting into Nicodemus.
That's
oh,
right.
Man, the next. Yeah. It's just been such a fun book to walk through.
Yeah, it's powerful.
That's
where we are next. We're going to pick up in chapter 3.
Good. And I'll close here just for our time. I know people have been sending me emails, Scott, asking, man, how can I help with the crisis in Afghanistan? I know there's refugees coming. I know that there's been floods in Waverly, and now Louisiana just got hit by a hurricane. I'll just encourage people to be looking out for their emails. We're going to be sending a Missions at Grace email out, hopefully within the next week. It kind of outlines ways that you can think about giving, being involved, and praying, because these are some big issues in our world, and I think we're going to be able to
help. Yeah, I didn't mention, we mentioned a lot of these places around the world. I did not mention Haiti. Oversight. But anyway, that is certainly on our radar.
Yeah.
And if there's anything out there through the organizations we work with that are able to help there
help
too.
Help in Haiti too. That'd be great. Yeah. Well, again, thank you for a great sermon. We look forward to Nicodemus this Sunday.
All right, thanks.